Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. How are you doing? It has been a long time. I have been away. Things have been going on. But I am back. So, you guys know what to do right now. Share this podcast. Tell your friends that Christopher Terrence Jones is back on the air. It really has been a minute. Life changes, things have happened, major things have happened. So, share. Don't keep it to yourself. It's so much going on in the world. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to open up and just let you know where I've been, what's been going on. I hope you guys have been well. So, let's get right into some of the stuff that's happening in the world, and I'll end with other stuff. So, Donald Trump, which the name we thought we would never hear again, you guys. We thought it was overdone. We was a happy camper. He has announced that he will be running for re-election in 2024. Lord help us. Why is he still here? Why won't he just go away, crawl up under a rock, and just go away? It's been so many things happening, and we knew that he was coming back. And one of the things that I want to say to people who support Donald Trump and support the racist Republicans, the MAGAs, and all of that. And you stood up here and said one of the reasons why you continue to vote for the Republican Party is because under the Democrats, inflation has become a big issue. Gas is high right now across the world. But this is what I don't understand. Inflation is caused because major companies and major corporations, which are wealthy, rich people, usually 1%ers are white people. They get tax cuts, tax breaks. They don't pay taxes. So make it make sense that why do they have to raise the prices on things? They're not paying taxes. But you have no money, and so you say we have to raise this because things is getting high. How is it getting high? You don't pay taxes. You're a multi-billion dollar company that pays no taxes. The little people, like me, we pay taxes. I pay taxes like I own 25 businesses, like I'm just a rich person. Like, I got all this money in the world. I'm telling y'all, when I look at my taxes, I'm trying to figure out, who am I paying taxes for? Because it sure can't be for me. Looking at my checks like, why? This makes no sense. Help it make sense to me, because it just does not make sense. So, when you ask yourself, the reason why I'm voting for these Republicans is because they're going to do something about inflation. Ask yourself this. How are they going to do something when they let the big corporations and the rich people get by scot-free? The little people can't keep paying. We're always going to be in a deficit because we don't have the money. I don't have 10 zeros in my bank account. I don't have 20 zeros in my bank account. Behind that one and behind that five and behind that eight. I don't wake up and make $100,000 in one day. Or be like Amazon and shares going for $4,000 and junk like that. What? Where? I just don't get it. It just don't make no sense. So This is not the time, people, for you to say, I'm not going to vote. You have to get in and fight. Don't get tired now, because what y'all failed to realize once before, he won. And y'all thought, oh, he's a personality. He's not going to win. He won. So if you get up here and you decide, I'm not going to vote, I'm not standing in the line, that's what they want you to do. That's exactly what they want you to do. They've made it so hard for you to vote. Long lines. Can't do ballots by mail, some states. All of this drama. Got to have all these extra IDs and all of this. If they're doing all of that, shouldn't it say, I better get my happy tail down here and vote, because something is going on that I don't understand. That's what it should say. I would want it, you know, I would want you to really get that understanding. So don't sit back. Don't give up. Don't get exhausted. Don't get tired, because he did it once before. He can do it again if you don't get out and vote. Also, get out and vote in your local elections. That's where it really counts. People were mad because Obama was in office and they said he didn't do enough for black people. First off, he wasn't a president just for black people. He was a president of the United States of America. Second, the bills that he put into place and the stuff that he voted on, that had nothing to do with your local area. When they have stuff going on, your school board, the superintendent, the board, the people that's on the board, you guys don't even get out and pay attention to them. You don't get out and pay attention to the mayors who run the cities that you live in. You need to get right there and say, hey, I'm voting locally, because locally starts where you're trying to go. If you put like-minded people in position, you won't have these problems. But you sit back and say, oh, that one don't matter. Every vote counts, people. I've heard so many people say, my vote didn't matter. No, your vote does matter. Look how close these races have been. Georgia, we shouldn't even be in this situation with Reverend Warnock and Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker is illiterate. He lied and said he graduated in the top 1%, but every time he opens his mouth, nothing says top 1%. That clearly says uneducated fool is what it says. But if you don't get out, don't be mad if Donald Trump gets back in office. Don't be mad. Because you can't just let it all fall on everybody else. Oh, everybody, they'll vote. No, it doesn't work like that, people. Everybody has to vote. Voting is not an option. It is a requirement for you to be here in this world, in this country. You can't just sit back and think that everybody else is supposed to take care of you. Entitlement will get you where we are screwed. Screwed. So, and when we look, I'm a little older, so I can't be considered that next generation. But where are the people who are trying to step up and be a part of the Democratic Party and be leaders? Nancy Pelosi has stepped down. She's going to walk out as a legend at 82 years old. Over 2 decades fighting the good fight. And really, she only stepped down because she had to put her family first when the idiot broke inside her home and attacked her husband, and he was there trying to get her. So at 82 years old, she should be well retired. Most of y'all barely make it to 60. 55, y'all trying to talk about, I'm trying to go out. 82, she's still out here fighting the good fight. And her last words just really got me. She said, "With great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to the Democratic leadership in the next Congress. For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect. And I'm grateful that so many are ready and willing to shoulder this awesome responsibility." She's out here trying to push you guys. We need to see your faces. We need to see you out there speaking. We need to see you out there fighting. We see Stacey Abrams out there. She out there doing what needs to be done. But we need more. We need more. Because I'm telling y'all, if y'all don't step up, we are going to be screwed. No more playing. No more playing. The Republicans don't care about you. Donald Trump didn't care about you. He didn't even care about the Republican Party. It was all about him. And they still stood behind him. Just crazy. It doesn't even make any sense. Does not make any sense. So, vote like your life depends on it, because it does depend upon it. A great thing happened, and it's getting ready to go before President Biden. The Senate passed a vote for the Respect for Marriage Act. And that is going to protect gay marriage. 12 Republicans crossed over and decided to vote this bill to get it through. 12. That's an amazing thing. Because people, the gay neighbor, nothing that they do affects you. Stop acting like somebody is out to get you. It just sounds so stupid when I hear people say that they're trying to make everybody gay. Nobody is trying to make you gay. If you're having such an issue with somebody trying to make you gay, that's because you're having a battle inside your own internal self. And you need to work that out and figure out what you want in life, because that has nothing to, gay people are not, there's no agenda. Let's just say that. There's no agenda to turn the world gay. So when you have people like Clarence Thomas, who says that they're going to start discussing gay marriage in the Supreme Court, really? I swear he forgets that there used to be a law that black people couldn't marry white people. And his wife is Lily White. So what would happen? God forbid that we overturn that law and make his marriage illegal. This is what people you really need to get in this day and age. Live your life for you. Focus on you. Focus on being the best you that you can be. Because there are so many other people whose lives are so miserable. Don't let them drag you down. If everybody focused on being the best person that they could be, they wouldn't have time to be worried about what the next person was doing. Nobody. You just wouldn't have time. So, thank you to the 17 Republicans who stepped up and said, "Hey, we're going to vote for this, because this makes no sense." gay people have been here. They're going to be here. And they're going to be here after a lot of these old Republicans have died off who refuse to change. This is why I've always said that there should be term limits for people who hold positions. You just shouldn't be able to be elected in and sit there time and time and time again, and your racist thoughts, your hateful ways, and you just sit there and you never change, even though the world, excuse me, the world has completely changed. It's a very, very new day. I was watching Paternity Court. I watched the little clips on Facebook, and there was a mother in there. She was 57. I don't know how old the son was. And his fiance was being disrespectful to the mother. Now, we don't know the whole story because we caught it in. But the mother explained that basically when she had him, it was a different time. And what a lot of young people don't understand is that there used to be a time when a young person got pregnant, say they were 16, 15, their family shipped them away back to the South somewhere. They disappeared for a year. They left pregnant and they came back without a baby. They weren't pregnant anymore. And when they came back, they didn't come back with no child. Another family member raised a child. You guys saw that in Tyler Perry's, whatever the last play was that Zuri Craig was in. Rest in peace to Zuri Craig. He played basically what I'm talking about. He was the son who the grandmother raised because the daughter had him out of being molested. So this woman is going on and on and on, screaming and hollering. You can see it on Paternity Court. It's always the same. And she's being disrespectful to the mother, but you don't know the mother's story. And it had to take the judge breaking it down to her. You don't know. And she said, because you live in a time where you got Facebook and y'all tell all y'all business. But I remember when I was in, was it middle school or junior school, junior high, whatever it was, there was a place down the street from my house that once you got pregnant in regular school, this was the school you started going to. They whisked you away to another school. You couldn't go to school pregnant at the same school. You had to immediately leave the school. But most people don't know that. It's a different day, people. So stop worrying about what the next person is doing and worry about yourself. If you just focus your energy, you won't have time. You just won't have time. It's too much other stuff going on in this world for you to be worried about somebody else and what they're doing when it has absolutely no effect on you. None. No effect. You're not going to lose no job. Nothing is going to happen to you unless you're out there being a Karen. Now, when you get out there and you start being a Karen, yeah, then you could lose your job. But if you were just minding your business, you wouldn't have to worry about anything. Because Karens is the ones who lose their jobs. I don't know what to tell you. I can't say it any other way. Mind your business. Mind the business that pays you. And life will be such a better option for you, and you can move forth and you can do great things, and it'll just be amazing for you. I promise you, you'll be all right. I'm gonna take a break. I'll be right back. So, while I was away, I did something. I went away, and I came back a different person. So, I think I talked about it before I left, that I have been preparing and studying to go to the Department of Education and become a state-certified school bus instructor in California. I did that. I am part of class 317, so I graduated as a state-certified instructor. I teach people how to drive the school bus. So, that was a very grueling process. A lot of studying, trying to learn so much material and go take a class, that was high speed. So once you got in there, the first day in, you already walked out with homework. And so it's basically a college course that is a semester down into a month. So you can imagine how crazy that was. So as I was preparing to go, my instructor, I'm going to shout out his name, Darrell Wesley, who happened to be a former instructor at the Department of Education here in California. He is my mentor. He is the person who trained me. He is the person that I call if I have questions. He was like, once you get this paper, you don't have to worry about anything else. And I was like, yeah. And you know, when you're studying, all of that sounds amazing, but you just can't focus on that, because the stuff, the material that I was studying, it was foreign to me. Let me tell you guys, y'all know I've been driving a school bus 36 years. So I've been doing this a long time. And when I started driving the school bus, the manual that I'm teaching from was not even in existence. I was already a veteran driver. I wasn't even a rookie driver when this book came out. And it came out in the 90s. I was already a veteran driver. This book went a whole different way from the way that I had been taught. I got taught by the old bus drivers, where my instructor put his coffee cup on the floor. And if you spilled his coffee, that meant you wasn't passing. And one day, one of my instructors fell asleep in the bus. And that's when you basically knew you had arrived. When you drive so good that they fall asleep. And I'm telling you, if we go back, I don't even remember Bob standing in the stairwell when I learned how to drive. Now, we have to stand in the stairwell. That's a part of what we do. So in case somebody messes up, we're able to grab the steering wheel, pull the brake, do whatever. But Bob Cropper, may he rest in peace. And I don't know about Jerry Dellis. I don't know if he's still alive. I got to see Carol Otoff maybe 10, 15 years ago. Amazing lady. She was my classroom instructor. And I don't know why, for the life of me, I can't think of the other lady's name. Just old age, y'all. But they were the workhorses. These were the people who taught. When I went to my class for school bus, it was like maybe 45 people in the doggone class. You can't find them type of classes. I just taught my first class and six people. And of the six people, only five ended up staying. So you can't find a 40 people in the class no more that want this certificate and that want a job that's guaranteed. You know, times have changed. So when I started this job, school busing was really for people who were married, women, retired people that just wanted to supplement their incomes. But as you see, times change and it just progressed. So I've been in the industry and I was like, I really was over it. As we went into COVID, I was like, I'm ready to do something different. And I went to Oregon during COVID. So that, you know, that changed for me. It changed my views on a lot of things. And I was going to come back and drive the city bus and do my little last 2 years over there and get my retirement from there, because I think it's 4 years I would be vested. So I was like, okay, I can go do 4 years and bounce and I would be 100% vested. But after going to Oregon, I got a reboot for school busing. I came back and we were without a manager like we had always been. The boss got the boot while I was gone. And so I came back and the training woman was there. And I was like, so when are you guys going to get us an instructor? I said, this makes no sense that we don't have an instructor. We have to have hours. And if we don't have an instructor, we can't do this. And she's like, well, nobody wants to step up. I said, I'm willing to step up. And she was like, are you serious? I said, yes. And so that started the wheels spinning. And it was like, okay, he's going to do this. And they started spinning real fast. Fortunately, Latoya, who was our operations supervisor at the time, was really good friends with Darrell Wesley. And she brought him in to start teaching class for us and to start getting our paperwork together. So he came through and said that he would train me. And of course, the company had to pay him, but he came through and he would spend hours with me. Hours. And I just had to start picking it up. And during the daytime, I would call him during the daytime. And it just kept going. And so when my nerves was rattled and I just didn't think I could do this, he was like, you got this, you got this. And the time seemed so slow. And he kept saying, once you get the certificate, you're going to be able to write a ticket to anywhere you want to go. He said, money will never be an issue for you again. It will never be an issue for you again. I'm like, yeah, yeah, whoop-de-doo, all of that. And it was like grueling. I was like, okay, my God. I think by March, I was ready to kill my boss because we had hired somebody and she would be a good boss anywhere else. But in school busing, when you don't know the industry, when you've never driven a school bus, it's just really hard for you to be a boss. It really is, because you don't understand what we really go through as school bus drivers. So by March, I was ready to kill her. And I was like, oh my God, this time is, I'm going to make it. And I was scheduled for July. So July was when I was going to class. Well, lo and behold, a lady retired from the academy and they canceled the July class. So I was like, oh. So I was like, oh my God. So at least I get to go September now. This is going to be better. I'm going to go in September because that would have been the next class. Not according to my mentor. So he calls me one day and he says, "What you doing?" I said, I don't even know what I was doing. It wasn't really nothing. He was like, "I got some good news." And I was like, "So what's the good news?" And I said, "Well, what's good?" And so he said, "You got accepted to the academy." I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "Yeah." I said, he said, "No, the July class got canceled." I said, "Okay, cool. I'm going to go in September. That's the good news. Yay, I'm excited." And this must have been April. It's like the start of April. Yeah, it was the start of April because all hell broke loose after that. So it was the start of April. And he said, "No, you're going to the June class." I was like, "I'm going to the who class? No, I ain't going to nobody's June class." Yeah, I said, "That's right around the corner." And I was like, "Oh my God." And so I'm just almost ready to pass out because now the thing that you have been working for is right there and is no longer far away. Because when I first started, oh my God, it's like 6-7 months away. And all of a sudden, boom, now you're a month, 2 months away. And you're just like, you start freaking out. So I started freaking out. I was having all kinds of emotions. I couldn't sleep. And then chaos just hit in my personal life. And I'm not dwelling on the negativity. So if those that are listening, and that's what you're listening for, thanks for boosting my podcast. Because I stated before, I'm not going to sit up and try to give you any joy. Because what happened to me was wrong. But life goes on. And I moved on. And I had to let some people go. And I mean really let them go. To the point where I'm over them. I don't care. If I never see them again. And that's family that I'm talking about. You can only do people so many times. So right before this was coming, I ended up having to move. And it was a transition. And we go through seasons in life. And I was sitting there thinking, God, I was telling my coworker, I said, "This is a lot. I'm just sitting here. I was looking at places every day, going, trying to find an apartment. I was out trying to do something. And I was like, I got to move. It's time. I got less than 30 days. And I'm in this position where I got to move." And I said, "God, I just need you to handle it." And so the next day or so, I was training one of the young ladies at work. And she's like, "Oh, I got to step out the bus because I got to take a phone call. There's a problem at one of my units." And I was like, "Units?" She said, "Yeah, I have apartment buildings that I own." So, okay. She went out and came back in. And I was jokingly saying, "Hey, if you got something, I need something. You know, I need a place to land right quick." And she was like, "Dang, you should have told me sooner. I just rented my last place." I was like, "Okay." And I was like, it's cool. Don't worry. You know, and I had other options. And so I was working on the other options. And I was content with my other options. One day I was heading to my wifey's house, Gloria, to go have, she was doing a wine tasting. And I got a phone call and I asked her, hey, and it was the trainee. She was like, what you doing? I said, I'm on my way to Fremont. She said, stop by this address in Hayward. I said, okay. So I stopped by and she opens the door to this apartment and I'm looking like, oh, this is nice. And she was like, take a really good look at it. I said, why am I looking at this if you don't have nothing vacant over here? And she was like, no, this is vacant. And it's yours if you want it. I said, huh? I said, whoa, really? She said, yes, it's yours if you want it. And I'm telling you, when it's your season to walk in favor, no demon in hell, no family member can hold you back. I was like, wow. So I was walking through and her husband came in. I had never met her husband. He had came in. He was upstairs in one of the other units looking at something and he came down. And when he introduced himself, he said his name was Arthur. And I instantly began to cry. My father, who passed away, was named Arthur. And one of the last words that my dad said to me before he passed away was that, you're going to be all right. You're going to be better than all right. I'm not going to be here to see it, but the struggle that you're going through, it won't be your story no more. And I got such a peace. And I was sitting there just like, wow. And her husband says to me, so you like the apartment? I said, yeah. He said, tell me how much the rent was. I said, oh, that's perfect. That's fine. And, excuse me. He was like, okay. So, because you work with my wife, just fill out the application. Don't worry about putting your social security number. I said, well, how are you going to do the credit check? He said, oh, I'm not going to do a credit check because you work with my wife. So that's like personal stuff. He said, I'm just going to trust you. He said, I'm just going to trust you. And because my wife has vouched for you. That was on a Saturday. I think it was like 3 or 4 days later. He was like, the apartment's ready. You can come by and get the key. And I came by and got the key. And I started preparing to move. I moved in May 1st. And I was just, you know, getting used to having an apartment that is so close to my job. I'm telling y'all, I am now not a long commuter. I'm at work in 21 minutes compared to driving 2.5 to 3 hours. And so I was like, wow. And so, you know, my thing was, I'm going to move in. I don't have time to worry about furniture, anything right now. I just need to get in because May 1st, I only got 1 month to keep studying. And all the stress that I had just gotten out of, I had to still keep studying because I'm getting ready to go to the academy. So that month went by fast. And I was off to Sacramento. And grueling. And I was like, oh my God, I just got to get done. I graduate. I come back. Now I'm back in July and I'm trying to get my bearings together because now I'm a state certified instructor. So July is like crazy month. I'm trying to do all this, get paperwork together, just so much stuff that I just have to start making for me now because as the instructor, I have to set up the filing system. And I tell everybody I'm really nothing but a glorified secretary. That's what I am, is a glorified secretary. But I also tell people I'm a school bus driver first. I just happen to hold a school bus driver's instructor certificate. So I have to make that clear to everybody. And so I'm going through that. And now August is here. I'm off to Curacao. I'm on my way to celebrate my friends, Erica and Bumpy, who I have been paying on this wedding. We started paying for 2 years. I paid for this wedding so that I could go. It was my first time out of the country. And we went to Curacao. And they did a destination wedding. So I got... Let me back up, too. Let's go talk about that. So I was running around, couldn't get a date for my passport. Oh, my God. They would tell you to show up at the post office and they would try to get you in. So I would go stand at the post office for 30, 40 minutes on my lunch trying to get through and get my passport. And I just got so frustrated. And I finally got an appointment, but it was going to be way up in Brentwood, which would have taken me like 2 hours to get to from work in the middle of the day for something that lasts 5 minutes. Because y'all know when you go get your passport, it's 5 minutes. You literally in and out. So I just got on Facebook one day and I was like, is there anybody that know where I can go and get a passport appointment? Because I got this trip coming up and I need to get this done. And that was May as well when I first moved in here. And so I'm scrolling through the comments. People were talking about places that I had already been and had no luck. And look down and I get this comment. Why didn't you just hit me up? I'm the passport person at my post office. I'm like, you're joking, right? She's like, no. So let me tell you, 2 days later, I was at my friend's window. She was my savior. You hear me? Savior. And I was like, whatever it is you want. That's why I say you have to treat people with kindness because you never know whose help you're going to need. And God sent an angel right when I needed an angel. And no, I'm not telling y'all her name. I'm not telling you where she work at because I've learned too. Once I put on there that I got saved and I was able to get it done, people start saying, can she do me? Can she do me? No. She don't know you. That blessing was for me. Sorry. I have to be a little selfish. That blessing was just for me. Just for me. Just for me. He did it all just for me. That was my blessing. So, got my passport. And I had also sent off for global entry. Because, you know, I'm like, okay, we're going to be there. They kept saying, you got to have global entry. You got to have global entry. And because we're going to leave you, you're going to be stuck in customs and blah, 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 blah. And so I sent off for global entry. My global entry, oh my God. I kept checking, nothing, 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 nothing. All the way till going to the wedding. And I just gave up. I said, well, I'm just going to have to stand in line, do whatever. Had an amazing time in Curacao. Wedding was beautiful. Took some beautiful pictures. Oh, drank myself into a frenzy. Oh, my God. Just had a ball and enjoyed my first time out the country. And as we are flying back, we're on our way back, people. I tell one of the ladies, she's like, did you get your global? I said, no. I said, every time I go on there, this is what it does. And I opened my phone, opened it up to where it shows what the status was. And I didn't even look. I just handed her the phone. And she was like, it says you've been approved. I said, it says what? We were in the airport coming back from Curacao. Now, we had a 3-hour layover, maybe 4-hour layover in Miami. Baby, let me tell y'all, when I got to Miami, I got in that line and there were like 3 of us in the line. They had just opened another line. So me and the kids ran to that line And I told them I wanted to do my interview. That man pulled me right out of that line. That other customs line was so long, I did not have to stand in it. I went in there and did my little interview after sitting there for over an hour. You know, I sat there for an hour. Did the interview, and the man said, okay, so you need to give us proof of this. So, I don't even remember when it was. I don't know if it was like 2005 or something. Y'all know I'm a thug. I got arrested because I was in a rental car that was reported stolen. And I got arrested in the car and ended up with a misdemeanor because I could not prove, even though I know I did it, that I got an extension and they kept charging my card. Dollar. They kept charging my card, but they said I never called in for the extension, but the girl took it down and she extended on my car. She got my credit card, but the car was reported stolen and I got arrested. Well, Global was like, we don't give, if you have a felony. I said, I don't have a felony. I said, it was a misdemeanor because I went in there and I pled not guilty. I pled no contest. I pled everything that I needed to plead. And I told the judge, I said, look, I did what I was supposed to do. And I called them. They charged my card. I can show you the statement where they charged it. I said, but I don't know what else to do. And she was like, I understand. But she said, but we're here now. And we said, where? I said, look, the only thing I need for this is I need to plead the mercy of the court. I said, if you turn this into a felony, I said, I can't work. I can't work as a school bus driver with a felony. And she was like, this is your first time ever being in here. She said, I really want to dismiss this case, but they're here. And so we have to go for it. I was like, you can dismiss it, but whatever. And so I didn't get any jail time because I didn't do anything. I was like, okay. So Global said, we just need to see the proof of that. Now, here it is all of these years later. They don't even have my records there. So when they said he couldn't find the records. Now, I wish he would have just said that all along and I would have had my Global entry done sooner. But they waited till the last minute and then they tell me that you need a copy of that. So off I go down to the county, the courthouse, and I get in there and I'm telling you, the man couldn't even find my records. He was like, I don't know what to do. So he ended up having to write me a letter and put the state of California seal on it. And I sent that over to Global. When I faxed it over to Global, Global got it just within an hour. And boom, my Global entry was done. So all the trips that I have coming up now, I have Global entry and TSA. So I don't have to stand in line and I ain't got to take my shoes off no more, people. I'm excited about that. So seasons, things change in your life. And in the midst of it, you may not think it's for your good, but it is for your good. I was thinking as I was recording tonight before I started that I started this job in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 7 years is what I have been there. And that's completion. God created the world in 7 days. When he completes something, he does a good work. And he did a good work in me. I graduated from the academy before I hit my 7 years. So there were some rough times at this company, but it got turned all the way around because I got a massive raise. Massive. And not only did I get a massive raise, during COVID, we got a big bump. We got like a $5 raise during COVID. So after getting that $5 raise, then I got this massive raise because I became the state certified instructor. So the other day, our union contract was up in June, and we had been fighting for that. And I don't think we got the money that we should have got, but you know, people didn't want to fight. They just wanted whatever quick money they could get. And that's what they did. It was a landslide vote. It was like 19-3 because, you know, the rest of the people didn't even come. And so, if you don't remember, I am the vice chair of the union. So, it is what it is. It's a name only. That's all it is. But we settled that and we got retro. And so I had to call my mentor and I had to just literally say thank you to him again. Because I was like, I said, I don't know if I've told you thank you enough, but I want to make sure that I keep saying thank you, because what you said to me is now coming to pass. So I moved in here in May and I hadn't bought anything. I'm telling you, I was just doing the basics. Because I had two plates and stuff that I had from while I was in Oregon at the hotel. I bought stuff. I bought a Ninja Foodie. So, you know, I can survive off of a Ninja Foodie. And I owned a Keurig. So, you know, because I drink my hot chocolate, my tea, and my coffee on the weekends. So I owned those two things. I didn't own any pots and pans. Nothing. But retro was on its way. God says, I'll give you favor when you least expect it. And so I was sitting there. All my bills were paid. Rent, car, everything was paid. And I said, okay, I need to start buying pots and pans. And I was really waiting till after Christmas. But I was like, you know what? I'm getting up and I'm going to get me some pots and pans. And I'm getting what I want. Not what folks think I should have. Not what folks think their pocketbooks say I should have. I'm getting what I want. I don't care if it's 700, 800, 900, 1,000. I'm getting what I want. Because favor is resting upon me. Because the season of struggle has ended. I'm in a season of blessings. Like I said, I moved in here with no credit check. I moved in here with the terms of breaking down my deposit so I could get in here swifter. And it was like, whatever. I passed the academy. The job offers are coming left and right on LinkedIn. And what they're offering me is beyond ridiculous. I just have decided not to leave just yet because they're offering way more than what my job gave me. So I'm just sitting here like in awe. The retro was mad crazy. Mad crazy. So I went out and I bought me some pots and some pans that I really liked. I went on over to that good old Williams Sonoma. Y'all know what that is. I went on over to Williams Sonoma and adulting is what I call it. I'm really adulting because I'm buying what I want. So I said, I'll go piece by piece. You don't have to rush into things. You can take your time and get what you want. During COVID, I had already bought a bedroom set because my back was on the bed that I was sleeping on was killing me. So I bought a sleep by number bed. So amazing, amazing. I also bought a 55-inch, I think it's about the TV. I bought a Samsung. So got a really good TV. you know, boom, boom, boom. And I had bought like a cheesy TV like before that. It's like, you know, it's like I'm not spending that. Baby, when you're trying to watch high definition quality TV, you got to spend some money. So, did that. And I'm telling you, the transition was rough because I thought it was going to be a different way of moving. I saw something different else of how this was going to happen, but it went a different way. God bless them and God keep them. And I was sitting there when I called my mentor, I was really emotional. And I was like, and y'all going to be mad at me, and you can comment, you can say whatever you want. It's just my opinion and it's just my thoughts. When my dad died, even up until before he died, we didn't have the best of relationship. But he was trying everything he could to mend our relationship before he left this earth. And he always, he gave 50 million lectures. There were 50 million lectures if I needed something. But he taught me to work. And that's one thing about me. I've always worked. And I unfortunately just picked an industry that did not want to support us. School bus drivers were not paid. And they're still not paid. I just happen to be at a district that pays. I work at a district where they pay. And we are the highest in the nation. We make the most money. And I sit at the top of seniority. So I was real depressed because my dad wasn't here. My baby brother wasn't here. And I felt all alone for a moment. And God said, you're not alone. Family is not always blood. Family is who you created, who are in your corner, who have your back, regardless of what other folks do. And I had not told my aunt anything about what was going on. And I hadn't told her anything, so she didn't know anything. And one day I just broke down and just began to tell everything. And she didn't even know nothing. And because I had been dealing with this, and I was focusing on getting myself to the next phase because I know that I had no choice but to. Sit and wallowing in it wasn't going to make it any better. You just had to get out there. And I'm telling y'all, when this transition happened, I was on my way to a residential hotel because I had not found an apartment, and I had already made up my mind I wasn't going to live in the hood. That was not an option for me because those were the apartments that were vacant. Or I was going to pay $4,000 or $5,000 a month for an apartment. And I was like, no, I'm not paying that either. I want something in the range. And I prayed. And that's why you have to be specific when you're asking God to do something for you. You have to be specific. This is what I want, God. I want this car. I want this color car. I want it to do this. I want it to do that. You have to be specific because he answers specific prayers. And that's what he did for me. But he just made it all the more better when the owner said his name was Arthur. Because it gave me peace, but it also caused me to cry. And it just took me all the way back to hearing my dad's voice and hearing the words. And one of the things that frustrates me so much is that, this is a sidebar, when people die, your family acts an ass is what they do. They act a purity ass. And the money that was left for me my older brother and sister stole. It wasn't theirs. They stole it. I don't care what other kind of way they try to justify it. It did not have their name on it. You stole my money. That's it, plain and simple. So when you stole from me, you died. You're dead to me. There is no comeback because he did for them. They both have houses. He did for them. And because they were his first kids. So I always felt like I wasn't, you know, I wasn't his. And as you guys know, I talked about that. I went through and I did Ancestry and I found out that he really was not my father, but he was the man that raised me and that made him my father. He's not my biological father, but he is the man that raised me and I appreciate him for that. So, but knocked them out of my life and I keep moving on. What people don't understand, when your mother mistreats you and your mother screws you over and you don't have the love from your mother, it's nothing nobody else can do. I don't care. It's nothing you can do to hurt me. My mother hurt me more than anybody else could ever hurt me in this entire world because she never was a mother to me. She was what I call a fake Christian, a fake church person, and that fake stuff. And when this last thing went down, I have nothing for her anymore. I forgive you because that's what I have to do. That doesn't mean that I like you, and that does not mean that I have to be around you. Because right now, I don't like you. I'm disgusted by your ways, your actions, and your better than everybody else self. That's the thing. So, but I forgive you. I'm real clear on that. And I'm good. I haven't lost any sleep since you've been out of my life. I'm not losing any sleep. I don't plan to lose any sleep. I've moved on. And one of the things you guys know, I did Ancestry. And Ancestry shows when somebody's connected to you. So my biological mother saw that I did Ancestry and it showed her that I was connected. And it shows when they get on Ancestry and when they've looked. So I know that she got on Ancestry and saw that the man that I thought was my father, which she said was my father, was not my father. And she can say, oh, I didn't see that. Ancestry showed it, boo-boo. It's there. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not tripping off of that. But I always said I wasn't trying to have a relationship with somebody new as a father. I just want to know who you are. So my prayer is that I do find out. And if I don't, then if it's not meant for me to do that, because I fell into a tree following Ancestry. And I thought that that person was my dad, but it says that person is deceased. So I may never know. I may never know. But I choose to be happy. I choose to live my best life. And I choose to walk through the door that God opened for me. Because this season, it's God doing for me and showing me that even when I felt like I was all alone, he was always there. Even when people said I wasn't blessed, I've always been blessed. I'm still here because of God's grace and his mercy over my life. So people thought, yeah, they had counted me out. But God never counted me out because God knew what he had placed in me. He knew way before I did where I was going, the journey I was going to take to get there. He knew. He knows where I'm going next. You just have to stay in the will. Stay in the zone. Stay focused with God being the center of your life. Because everything else doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So as I continue to sit here and watch the manifestations, because I'm in harvest right now, and my harvest is great because I helped so many other people. I donated my time. I gave of my time to help others. And I've always, always given to folks. Always. And I kept saying, God, when is it going to be my time? Why am I always going through something? And y'all know, like I say, school busing never paid. I picked the wrong industry at the wrong time. But I paid my dues. So that's why I'm going to call it that way. Because we struggled. A lot of us school bus drivers struggled for years. And I'm sitting here like, wow. The struggle is over. At least for me. Because God got my back. So I'm grateful because nobody can say they did this but God. Nobody but God can do this. So I'm just grateful. I'm forever blessed. And I'm going to ride this journey out. And people say, oh, I see you traveling again. You're back to the old you. Because y'all know I used to always be gone. So that's me. I'm hopping on planes, trains, automobiles, and I'm out of here. Because life is not promised. There is no tomorrow. You may wake up or you may not wake up. People are dying daily. Stop living your life inside of a box. Get out and enjoy life because tomorrow is not promised. People are here today and gone tomorrow. People with good health gone tomorrow. And we just saw how COVID wiped out. If you really just look at the number of COVID, COVID basically wiped out some entire cities. Some entire cities were wiped out because of COVID. If you just really sit and think about it, if you just sit in it for a minute. So it ain't never easy. It ain't always been fun. But where I am is right where God wants me to be. And I'm just going to continue to stay right in the will of God, praying every morning that he takes complete care of me. And I stay on this journey. I hope something I said today has encouraged you. You can be lifted and know that it's not always going to be so bad. Your good days will outweigh the bad days. Share the podcast. Tell a friend. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't forget to rate that 5. 5. Because I'm worthy of that 5. Don't forget to follow my YouTube channel, Christopher Terrence Jones. Don't forget about the Perspective Talk Show that I do with my brothers, Facebook Live on Wednesdays. I will see you guys next week. I'm out. Have a blessed day, blessed week, and a blessed year. Peace.